WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, well, it's all set and done. Looks like the summer flatter dates are May 22nd to September 19th. Option one. Option two was May 28th to September 28th. We'll talk about that in the next segment with Captain Bob Rush, member of New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council, also owner of the Starfish out of Sea Isle and also Tiki Charters. Captain Bob tells it like it is. A lot of stuff going on. Man, a saltwater bite. Stripers, we have them, man. They are out there. They are around. A few keepers here and there. Water's still a little chilly, but get those bloodworms out there, man, and they are, you are going to catch some fish. White perch remain, again, chilly water, calm them down a little bit, but you have a pretty damn good white perch bite going up and down the tidal waters. I'd say from basically lower Barnegat Bay right on down through Cape May, getting those backwaters, the Tuckahoe River, Great Egg Harbor River, Middle River, Nacogdoches Creek, Bass River. Now, white perch is a member of the temperate bass family, so I don't call it the Bass River for nothing. You have stripers in there. Also, you have some nice-sized white perch. We have coming up, our next guest, again, is Captain Bob Rush. Following that is Karen Byrne, Division of Fish and Wildlife, talking about the virtual, it's going to be a three-part series, Turkey Hunting Seminar that's going to be kicking off for women in the outdoors. A lot of stuff happening with that. And we also have John Erndl, UBNJ. Hey, man, tomorrow, Spring Fling up there in Freehold. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. We also have a couple of fish reports lined up. And hey, wrapping it with the lovely Bonnie Schneider from the Piccalilli Inn next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Wild Game Weekend, dining like you cannot imagine. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's Talk Station.
This is Harry Hurley for the Atlantic City Rescue Mission. During times of uncertainty, the need in general is never greater. Such is the case at the Atlantic City Rescue Mission. The Atlantic City Rescue Mission is in the job of both changing and saving lives. They serve meals 7 days a week. Breakfast is at 7 a.m., dinner is at 5 p.m. They practice social distancing, temperature scans, and extra disinfecting cleaning measures. They have an emergency plan in place, and they are a certified DCA emergency shelter. The Atlantic City Rescue Mission is in contact with all state, county, and local health and emergency management services. The Atlantic City Rescue Mission has an immediate emergency need for monetary donations. You can help by going to their website at acrescuemission.org. That's acrescuemission.org. Dan Brown and his incredibly hardworking staff are on the job 24/7, as they always have been. This is Harry Hurley for the Atlantic City Rescue Mission.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Well, it is all said and done. Thursday evening, the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council made a decision. The flounder season dates are going to be May 22nd to September 19th. Pretty much mirrors the 2020 season. Look at 121 days of summer flounder fishing. Now, there was a second option. And the way my phone was going off Thursday night, well into the night, May 28th to September 28th, would have been a few extra days of fishing. More importantly, from the captains I spoke with, especially the party boat owners from South Jersey, believe it or not, were the cut the instead insipid 18-day waiting period between the end of the flounder season to the reopening of the sea bass season in October. Cut it to 9 days, which, you know, 18 days sitting at the dock is a tough deal here. Well, not envious of this gentleman's position. Joining us on the line, waiting patiently, Captain Bob Rush, owner of the Starfish out of Sea Isle, also Cruising Tikis. I mean, this guy rocks. He's also a sitting member on the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council. Captain Bob, thanks for joining us on short notice. Tough decision. How's it going?
Going great. Going great, Tom. Going great.
Captain Bob, it was come see, come saw about from, you know, guys saying, I made a poll, we had a poll, our club had a poll, whatever, organization had a poll. The people I spoke with, Bob, from individual anglers, party boats, charter boats, casual fluke anglers such as myself, it seemed that the choice was the 28th to May 28th to September 28th, and this was a variance from what I understood and from what I was hearing from the first option that was chosen, May 22nd to September 19th. I know there was some public comment. Listen, it was a virtual meeting. It was tough to get the words in. But, Cap, coming to that decision, how was that made?
Well, let me say this first off right off the bat. No matter which way we choose, everybody is not going to be happy.
This is true.
That's first. And we have bigger we actually have bigger issues than what we have with Fluke. Have we had been able to get the sea bass squared away and get the sea bass opened up earlier than what we have in October,
there you go.
We wouldn't even be having this phone call about Fluke right now.
Exactly.
So you know, we're damned if we do, we're damned if we don't.
Well, Bob, walking
on,
that...
Go ahead.
I'm saying walking that...
Unfortunately...
Go ahead, Bob. Sorry. You were saying?
Unfortunately, last night with last night's phone call, our online video that we have our meetings with now, unfortunately, not all the public was able to actually voice their their options at that point in time. There was a lot of people that were left off actually getting to voice their opinion. And, you know, in hindsight of that, I wish we had a different platform that we can use for our online calls, but unfortunately we're stuck with what we have, right or wrong. But I didn't feel it was right that a lot of people were left off last night, that they couldn't voice their opinions.
Right.
Now, some people didn't get the survey that they put out. Some people didn't see the upcoming meeting events. Some people dialed in, got kicked off. My phone was blowing up as well during the meeting as well, right, with everybody that could speak. And it was back and forth between option one and option two. The advisory committee had the preferred option when they met a couple weeks ago, and the preferred option coming out of that was option one. What Council chose at that point in time, and that's why I chose option one.
Well, Captain Bob, we're speaking to Captain Bob Rush. He's a member of New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council, also owner of the Starfish at a Sea Isle, also the Cruising Tikis. But I can't wait to partake of that this summer. Oh, my God. It's going to be a lot of fun. Well, Bob, again, it comes down to this all the time. All the years I've been doing this, I'm 18th season doing Rack and Fin Radio, getting into these meetings, getting there when I can, but it seems that demarcation, that divide, north versus south. You guys suck down south, you always get what you want. Guys down south, you guys suck up north because you have all those big party boat fleets up there. So that tightrope, Councilman, that you have to walk is, I don't know how you have any hair left, man. How do you can't please everyone, but you're damned, like you said, Cap, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
That is correct. Now, I'm going to throw another one at you. Instead of north and south, how about an east and west split? How about the inland versus ocean guys? It's not so much a north south split. It's okay. The Back Bay guys want one thing, and the ocean guys want something totally different. And that's kind of where the problems are coming in. And the federal government's getting exactly what they want. We're all fighting each other.
The divide. I don't know about it. This sounds almost like pervertedly morbid to say this, but it seems that they're really enjoying watching this.
They want us fighting each other, because if we're fighting each other, we're not fighting them.
Well, Bob, back to the sea. You mentioned the sea bass, but again, the sea bass thing, will that ever get straight out? Bob, they're eating the paint off the bottom of boats. That's how many sea bass there are. But knowing that's not going to be happening, at least this year, I guess, why not go with that second option, giving the party boats and charter boats a chance to not have that financially really negative hit to the gut 18 days, you know, as opposed to nine, would have made it 9 days a lot more palatable.
Well, again, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You got some guys that want to open up early in May. Some guys will say, well, wait a minute, you know, from April 30th, I can't catch a blackfish from April 30th.
Right.
I got a 15-day wait there until sea bass starts, okay? But I don't sea bass fish because I fish in the Back Bay. So now I got to wait until the end of May in order to fish.
There you go.
So you can use that theory both ways here. Okay, you have a closure at the end of the season, and you got a closure in the beginning of the season. It's also a little bit balanced out the way it opens up as well. You know, you don't have as much downtime in May. You don't have as much downtime in the fall either. So it kind of balances everything out with it too. And you're only talking 3 days.
Sure.
That's all you're talking, Tom.
Sure.
You're talking three days is all you're talking. That's it. That's it. That's the bottom line.
Okay, Cap. And a lot of other, you know, you hear, well, the first storms in September hit, and the water's too, on the other, September, then on the other hand, the water's still too friggin' cold, and that early in May, a fluke don't bite. I said, I beg your pardon? You know, so, it gets crazy. Hey, I don't envy the position every council member's in. You guys really have it against the wall.
I want to add on this, too. I heard last night, well, I don't know about last night, but I've heard in the past that you don't catch big fluke in May and April and stuff like that. And I'm like, if you don't catch the big fluke in May and April, how come NOAA weighs May and June heavier than they do September and October for fluke?
Exactly right. Yeah.
You catch some nice big flukes sometimes, April, May. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, Tom. Going down to Seattle, there was boat rentals started April 1st. And them guys were back in the Back Bay.
Shout out to Captain Al Cordelli on the Bayhound. First came down there, befriended him, great guy, and took me, I think it was end of April, early May. Cap, seven pound fluke right behind, or 7 or 8 pound fluke right behind the Avalon, what's that, the Avalon Country Club or whatever it is? Yacht Club, right?
Yep.
And what, 7 feet over a mussel bed? I says, holy Christ! He says, yeah, man, we got some big flatties here in the spring. And that's why, hear there's not – it's great. Well, Bob, thanks for clearing that up with us. Listeners, that is the way the season is going to be. It's going to open May 22nd and run to September 19th, 121 days. The limits remain the same, 3 at 18, Delaware Bay, 3 at 17, and Island Beach State Park from the surf, 2 at 16. Cap, I can give you one more minute. That's really a kick in the ass. Delaware Bay, the guys have it hard there. It's – you know, 3 at 17, great. And then Delaware comes around, unlimited, open year round, and they drop it to 16 to stick it to New Jersey. Why the animus, it seems, to Jersey, Cap? Your opinion?
I think part of the reason is because Jersey's got the most amount of pie, and everybody wants our pie.
There you go.
That's the bottom line.
Well, Captain Bob Rush, hey, give a phone number and website for the listeners, the Starfish, Graybell, Captain Mike. On the Starfish, great boat. They'll catch a fish up the, if you want to know the truth, they are on it. Give the website, Facebook page, Cap. What do you got?
Starfishboats.com and 609-263-3800.
Okay, Cap, one thing I have to mention. Okay, let's just say last summer, the summer before, Debrie and I were down that way. Hey, let's stop on a Starfish. Go on. You had a 4-hour trip going, Cap. And we're out there, and Cap Mike. And we're bailing fish. It was the middle of the summer, Cap. Was it August, late July, early August? I mean, trigger fish, having a ball. And there's a couple there. This always seems to happen. Young couple, mid-20s. Girls in high friggin' heels, made up like you can't believe the guys here. I don't know what made them get on the boat. The girl, and it was a pretty busy boat. It's always, the Starfish is always busy. It was great to see. A lot of fish. The girl pulls up, probably has to be a 4-pound trigger fish. Never fished before, won the pool, and Captain Mike says, that's what happens on a Starfish.
You always get lucky.
In size forever in my memory. Well, Captain Bob, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin, clearing that up, and you have a great season. Hope to see you this spring.
Sounds good, Tom. Sounds good.
Take care, Cap. That guy has more energy than all get. Hey, man, up against a break. Coming up. Hey, man, we have a virtual turkey workshop happening, Division of Fish and Wildlife, Women in the Outdoors. Oh, man, a lot of stuff. It's springtime, man. A lot of stuff is happening. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk with a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk with a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk with a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Comfort Now by Bob McAllister, because you deserve Comfort Now.
Hi, Comfort Bob. Getting ready for summer and thinking about replacing your air conditioner? Hurry. Have you tried to buy an appliance, a bike, a new faucet? Nothing is guaranteed anymore. For the past year, Carrier and every other manufacturer have experienced COVID shutdowns and longer assembly lines to produce the product. Jack and Jenny can't stand right next to each other anymore. If you're looking for the new air conditioner, do not wait. We have most Carrier products available now, but we had heater shortages this winter, and we fully expect AC shortages to start in the next 60 days. We have Carrier and state rebates and financing available, and most importantly, we have Carrier air conditioners. Call us today, 609-400-1005, because you deserve comfort now.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Download the WPG Talk Radio app to listen to any of the podcasts from the past, what, going on 5 or 6 months. Everything is happening. Uh-oh. What am I hearing? Is it starting to get near that time now? Oh, I saw some turkeys the other day on, what was that, 539. I was all the way up there by, what's that, Cream Ridge. And there are not a big flock, but a substantial flock of turkeys walking around. It is getting closer and closer to the season. Try to patter them now because it changes by the week, I guess, as it goes. But I just want to remind everyone, great announcement. Division of Fish and Wildlife is going to be the Outdoor Women of New Jersey's virtual turkey hunt workshop from the Division of Fish and Wildlife and the National Wild Turkey Federation, Women in the Outdoors, April 11th to 25th. Kind of involved here. I'm reading the press release. I made some phone calls. I'm talking to people. And I said, whoa. Now, I better let the person who is running this discuss it because I don't want to give any misinformation because this sounds like it's going to be a super, super, again, listeners, virtual event. Joining us on the line is Karen Byrne. She's a principal biologist overseeing information and education with Bureau Chief Al Ivany. And she is running this this virtual workshop, and she does a myriad other things regarding education, the outdoors, workshops, etc. Joining us on the line right now, Karen, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited about this workshop.
You're excited. This is bouncing off satellites, man. She's going crazy. The Women's Virtual Turkey Hunt Workshop is part of the Division of Fish and Wildlife's Outdoor Women of New Jersey, the OWNJ program. This is, and it's a workshop designed to provide women 18 years of age or older with a welcoming environment in which to learn outdoor skills. Now, Karen, turkey hunting, I'd say for our size, geographic size in New Jersey, we have some of the best turkey hunting available in the mid-Atlantic, if not the entire Northeast region. I mean, other states get more birds, but for what we have to work with, again, listeners, you're talking close to, what, 700,000 acres of public land, wildlife management, state parks and forests, whatever, county lands that you can hunt turkeys. And Karen, our turkey hunting kicks ass, man.
It does. It does. There's lots of opportunities for birds, and permits have been awarded. And so hopefully, you know, some of our participants put in for them. So there'll be over-the-counter sales, and, you know, hopefully we can get people excited about turkey hunting. And this workshop is so good because if you've hunted before, but maybe not turkeys, it's an opportunity to learn about that. And it's also great that if you've never hunted, it can introduce you to hunting to see if this is something you're interested in or not. And it networks you with a lot of other women.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really lucky that we partner with National Wild Turkey Federation, Women in the Outdoors, with Christina Jones. She started a new Women in the Outdoor chapter for New Jersey.
Nice.
So she's working on that. So it's just a really great platform to connect women who are interested in hunting and being outside and being involved.
Now, listeners, we have, he's a frequent guest on Rackman, especially, he should be coming up in sometime in, I guess, early April. Lou Gambale, he's the state chairman, and he's with the, was it, Tri-County Longbeards, and you have the Central Jersey Limbhangers, nice, tight, very enthusiastic turkey hunting organizations spreading the word, doing the 3R thing when it comes to the spring and also during the fall turkey season. So we have everything going on here. But now, Karen, these virtual meetups, describe what happens here and the times.
Sure. So for our virtual meetups, we'll have our introductory workshop on April 11th, where we'll get everyone together, go over our plan, answer any questions they might have, and then introduce them to the content for week one. So for week one, we're going to go over, like, about wild turkey. We had Bob Erickson present for us, who was involved in bringing wild turkeys back to New Jersey.
Hey, let me interrupt you. I'm very rude. Let me interrupt you a second. I was there when he released the first bird. Wait, was that back in 78? Whoa! Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's how old I am. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, that's going to be, what's the date of this, the first one?
So April 11th is our meetup, and then we'll release the content for week one, and then we'll come back on April 18th, review week one's content. Hopefully we'll have Bob Erickson there to answer any of the questions the participants may have. Release week two's content, which will be more focused on hunting and getting into hunting wild turkeys. And then we'll have our wrap-up meeting on April 25th.
At what time are these meetings?
They're at 7 o'clock at night.
Okay, now to get, registration, I know there's a $50 fee. If you want to get into turkey hunting, women, this is the best $50 you will ever, ever spend. But how do people register and stuff, Karen? What's the dealio?
So they can go on our website on njfishandwildlife.com. We have our registration form up there. They click on that, fill it out, email it back to me, and mail their check to me. And then I email them, letting them know they're in the workshop. And with that $50, they get a membership to National Wild Turkey Federation.
Wow.
They'll get access to the Women in the Outdoors program and a membership with that. And we're also working on some really good turkey giveaways.
Hey, Karen, can I send you $50? I mean, I don't like to get involved with this.
We can't discriminate. We're the state.
Well, Karen, one thing, and your years with the division, have you noticed an uptick in, I've seen it on the water and I've seen it in the woods, not to any great degree, but listen, still incremental. You don't care. Little bit by little bit by little bit, women and also young women, like teenage girls, participation in the hunting and fishing endeavors.
Yes, we've seen a big increase, and we've seen a lot of women getting into this resource who didn't grow up in a hunting family. I didn't grow up in a hunting family. And so they're either self-taught or learning from each other. And it's just a really great network. And it's exciting to see, you know, people getting excited about hunting who don't have a background in it, who didn't grow up with going out with their dad.
Okay, joining us on the Rack and Fin line is Karen Byrne. She is a principal biologist overseeing information and education at the Bureau with Al Ivany. Topic is a virtual turkey hunting workshop, April 11th through 25th. April 11th, 7 p.m., April 18th, 7 p.m., April 25th at 7 p.m. Workshop fee, $50, includes a one-year membership to National Wild Turkey Federation and also some cool turkey hunting giveaways. The registration form is available, you said, on the website?
Yep, njfishandwildlife.com.
Okay, and you mail the check or money order to make it payable to New Jersey State Chapter NWTF. Well, Karen, this is going to be a, you can't say full house because it's virtual. Remember that? I said, in case you saw, she said, no, Tom, it's virtual. Okay, I get that. I'm too excited. But, Karen, I see unfolding. You guys have a great crew up there. You're there. You're based at Naco Creek, but the I&E Bureau, all-encompassing, you have some great programs being planned and going to be unveiled this spring and summer, correct?
Correct. We are planning a way right now for what programs we might be able to offer, hopefully some hybrid fishing courses. We're going to be offering more webinars. We have our Shed Hunting 101 webinar. That's tonight at, I think, 6:30. And we're hoping to offer...
Karen, that was Friday night, correct?
Yeah, sorry, Friday night, last night. But if you missed it and you didn't get to see our shed hunting workshop, our webinar, it's going to be on our website for others to view on our YouTube channel. So all you have to do is visit njfishandwildlife.com, and we'll have the link up there for people who missed out on it last night.
Okay, listeners, again, this is going to be the virtual turkey hunt workshops coming up April 11th through 25th. Division of Fish and Wildlife, the National Wild Turkey Federation, Women in the Outdoors. Okay, let me give you a quick, again, one more time, workshop overview. Topics may include turkey biology, hunting regulations, equipment and techniques, scouting, planning your hunt, and turkey call. That's the critical one. Turkey calling. No one messes up a turkey hunt more than the person you're listening to right now. That's why we get into woods. Dee Marie says, you go that way. And I'm going this way. And it's
turkey don't seem to care.
Okay, there will be weekly meetups to discuss the week's content, ask questions, and hear from experienced turkey hunters. And listen, you have a chance to meet Bob Erickson. Was just an amazing guy. I remember him spearheading this. And by the way, I don't know if she's still with the division or if she's retired. One of the coolest and most efficient turkey hunters I ever knew, not just in the division, but I ever knew, a young lady named Mimi Dunn.
She has retired. I did have the pleasure of working with her.
She can put those gobblers down, Karen. Woo!
Maybe I'll have to rope her into helping out next year and be a mentor.
Hey, ma'am, any chance I can get the hunt with you? Ready? No. Okay. And that was it. Karen, one more time. Give that website and a contact number, please.
Sure. NJFishandWildlife.com. And people can reach out to me. My phone number is 609-947-1201.
What about an email?
And it's Karen, K-A-R-E-N dot B-Y-R-N-E at D-E-P. NJ.gov.
Karen, you have a great spring season. Hope to run into you one of these days when I'm in that area. Dealio?
Yeah.
Okay, Karen, you take care. Best everyone there at Naco Creek.
Thanks.
We'll see you.
Bye.
Karen Byrne rocks the house. Just absolutely rocks the house. This is going to be a great... I'm getting into the virtual stuff. When you have to travel. See the price of gas? Thank you, Joe B. Thank you. But it's going to be all-encompassing and listen, you meet Bob Erickson. Just an amazing, amazing guy. Okay, grab that cup. Grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's number one talk station.
Fox News. I'm Carmen Roberts. A votorama in the Senate as lawmakers work through the early morning hours voting on amendments to the COVID relief bill. One is a deal reached with Democratic Senator Joe Manchin.
Democrats will extend extra unemployment benefits through early September. Now, that's opposed to August in the House bill, but it drops the additional benefits to an extra $300 a week rather than $400.
Fox's Chad Pergram. And this year's inspection of the U.S. Navy's surface fleet shows it's struggling to maintain readiness.
Inspectors found problems with anti-submarine warfare systems, propulsion and electrical systems, and the Aegis weapon system. This is the second year in a row Aegis, which guides weapons to enemy targets, has not been adequately maintained, according to the Board of Inspection and Survey.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Overnight brisk and cold under a clear sky, the low 29. During the day Saturday, partly sunny, breezy and cold, the high 40. Clear on Saturday night, low 25. Sunday, plenty of sun but still cold, high 41. Monday and Tuesday, lots of sun. We'll have moderating temperatures. Monday's high 45. Warmer Tuesday, high around 60. I'm AccuWeather's Kurt Babinski on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of March 6th and 7th. The Ides month is upon us. Beware the Ides of March. Hey, man, rumor has it that Captain Dave, the Rave Showell at Absecon Bay Sports and Center, 81 Natalie Terrace in Absecon, will be running his second annual Tides of March White Perch Tournament. Maybe a week long, maybe only a weekend long. We shall see. We'll hopefully get hold of Captain Dave sometime later next week. Just a reminder, tomorrow as well, it's never over. Remember, Rambo? It's never over. I'm stealing that from Hugh Carberry, former artificial reef coordinator, Bureau of Marine Fisheries, beyond avid deer hunter, especially with the bow. It's never over. Okay, so he's at, right now, he's probably out there still looking for sheds and getting ready to do the food plots and a whole bit. Well, the United Boners of New Jersey, man, keeping it going with the spring fling. It's going to be tomorrow at the 4F Gun Club, 1 Burke Road in Freehold, up there in Monmouth County, top end of the Rack and Fin Radio terrestrial listening area. It's going to be a fun event, rain or shine. And we have John Ernle from the UBNJ on the Rack and Fin Radio line right now. Tell us about it. Okay, John. John is the president of this Balls to the Wall hunting organization, working for the rights of sportsmen to keep hunting, especially bow hunting, alive and well and thriving in the great state of New Jersey. President John E., how you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm talking to El Presidente. Spring fling shoot coming up tomorrow. Listen, I tell you, rain or shine, it's going to be some nice weather. And, John, DeMarie is already flinging some arrows, thinking turkey season. So let's let it work. This is going to be a fun event. And it's going to be, was this the first time you've had it at the 4F Gun Club?
No, we've had it for about 5 years now there.
Uh-huh. And this is going up. Oh, I'm looking at it here, John. You got 215 target ranges. It looks like it's going to be a Reinhardt target. So, listeners, the best. So, John, I understand registration starts at 7 a.m. and runs till when?
Around 11-ish. We don't have a hard cutoff because we're going to be there all day. It'll take about an hour and a half to shoot the both 15-target courses. So if guys want to come out, fling some arrows, we'll be there ready for them.
Now, John, what are the – I see you have three-tier on the entry fee. Actually, people, youngsters, 10, you know, 9 and under are free. But, John, what's the price structure to get in?
It's $15 for adults. From 11 to 15 is $10. And like you said, under 10 is free.
Okay, John, also – now I'm wondering, man, you guys are going to be packed. Every one of your events is, you know, balls to the wall, extremely well attended. Are you going to have a cutoff number or anything? What with the social distancing and all that stuff going on?
No, I mean the groups usually come together. There's more than enough space out in the woods to socially distance. So if you want to come down, we'll take you.
Now, John, I understand. Listen, this. I was at the club once, and they have some menus there. I understand breakfast and lunch are going to be available for purchase as a fundraiser for the 4F Club, correct?
That is correct. They'll have breakfast sandwiches in the morning, and they'll have something, probably hamburgers and hot dogs around lunchtime.
Guess who's going to be visiting on that one, Erdl? Well, John, getting this together, John, it's... Yeah, the enthusiasm is still there. You guys are keeping it going. But, you know, I guess especially with this administration, the volatile anti-hunting stand it maintains. How's it going recruitment-wise, getting more UBNJ members signed up?
We're actually doing well. We're actually up with membership. I think people are starting to actually wake up and see that they need to get involved with their outdoor organizations, whether it be UBNJ, the Federation, National Wild Turkey Federation. Right. That's the only way we're going to keep this sport in this state.
Well, John, UBNJ, this is how long I've been on this good earth. Started in 1974. I remember, I think the first president was Lou Martinez. Shout out to Lou there. Also a great fishing writer, Louie, on your end. I want to give you credit for that. John, you've been a member 30 years, so you've seen ups and you've seen some way downs. How's, you know, it's you see it though going upwards insofar as, again, people, you know, waking up out of the apathetic stupor, of which I am guilty of. Send my check and, you know, let them do it. I plead to that. But yeah, so more people are getting involved in the antis because they're not quitting. They're revving it up.
They are, Tom, and it's good to see people getting into it. I think archery in general has an uptick. Because with the COVID, people were looking for things to do outdoors to, you know, get out, do some recreation. And I know bow sales are way up in the past year. So it's good. And actually, we're planning on, we have a course I've talked to you about that's coming up. It's going to be in May. I don't have the exact date yet, but it's going to be called Beyond Hunter Education. Hunter Ed, you know, was kind of handcuffed with COVID.
Right.
And they actually have, when they opened the registration for the spring classes, they had over 400 signups in 2 days for people to go for their hunting licenses. So, you know, they're taxed. So what this course is going to do, it's going to take new hunters who don't have family members at hunt, someone to help show them the ropes. Mm-hmm. And it's going to cover everything from tree stand safety, shot placement, how to scout.
Wow.
You know, basically everything. And we're also going to focus on making sure that these new hunters know that they have to be involved with the outdoor organizations and fight for the sport. Otherwise, the sport won't be around for them.
John, because the antis, you know, it's never ending. It's just a constant 24/7, 365 days a year to ban hunting in one way, shape, or form. Listen, there's hunting and trapping and also fishing, so we're going to address that a little later on in the spring. But, John, even, you know, by increments, death by a thousand cuts, I mean, that's their philosophy. They don't care how long it takes.
No, they don't. They chip away, and actually, we just were reached out to by some bow hunters in Georgia because Georgia's never had to deal with antis. It's, you know, very sportsman friendly state, you know, it's a tradition down there, and they're actually trying to ban bow hunting in Columbus County, Georgia. Some antis, I guess, must have gotten in hold down there on the county seat or whatever. And they're actually trying to ban bow hunting in the whole county. So the group of bow hunters know how we fought them over the years and have looked to us for guidance on how to take this on. And actually, our Northern Region Vice President, Dan Lombardo, is going to be traveling to Georgia when this comes up for a hearing to speak on behalf of bow hunters.
Well, John, Georgia, of all places. Well, John, closer to home, we had him as a guest several times on Rock and Fin Radio. Scott Patterson there in Fairhaven, or not Fairhaven, excuse me, Tinton Falls. They're trying to, with the way they're trying to pass some ordinance, and he's working diligently on it, and you know he's getting some support where they want to make it 500 feet, for example, in effect, shuts down bow hunting in Tinton Falls.
Yeah,
and there's plenty of big deer up there and a lot of deer up there. And I tell you, he's banging his head on against the wall, but there seems to be some movement, again, not trying to jinx anything, going in his favor. But he says, Tom P., it is unbelievable what they want to just shut it down.
Yes, the last Zoom meeting they had on that whole ordinance, we had UBNJ members in on it.
Beautiful.
Cindy Kunstner from the division spoke very well, and I think she made a lot of headway with getting the people thinking that not to just have this ordinance passed as a knee-jerk reaction. And it's slowly coming around. Like I said, don't want to jinx anything, but, you know, we're on top of it too. And, you know, whatever support we need. And one of the big things is if we put the message out for hunters and bow hunters that live in Tinton Falls to contact their council people, they have to do it.
Right. Absolutely. We're speaking with John Erndl, president of United Bow Hunters in New Jersey. Big event tomorrow up there at the 4F Gun Club, 1 Burke Road in Freehold. The annual UBNJ Spring Fling 215 target courses. Reinhardt Targets, the best in the business. Breakfast and lunch by the 4F Club are going to be available for sale as a fundraiser. Charging it in $15 for adults, youngsters 10 to 16, $10 and under 10 is free. It's a rain or a shine event. John, two things I want to address. You mentioned that bow sales are ticking upward. I'm pleasantly surprised to see how well the traditional bows are really moving off the dealer shelves, and they're not inexpensive, man.
No, I mean, but you know what? The good thing is, you can get if you're getting into it with the traditional, you can get a recurve that will do just what you want it to do for around $100, or you could spend $1,000 on a custom recurve or longbow.
John, I've seen some of the Damon Howitt, you know, that the traditional division of Martin Archery. I mean, you talk about bow eye candy. Good Lord. But you look in. It's one of those, they're so artistically beautiful. To me, I'd want to hang it up on a wall instead of bringing it out in the woods and getting scratched up and stuff, knowing how I do it.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm a staff shooter for Martin and Damon Howitt. And did you see the two new ones that they came out with?
No, but I'm still drooling over to Savannah. That's making Mountain Mike up there in Snorta. He's making me crazy. He is making me crazy, John.
Yeah, Mike's a good guy. And they just came out with, they're actually going to have four new models for 2021 that are just, they've knocked it out of the park with the traditional mode.
Oh, John, just before I let you go here, we're speaking with John Erndl, president of UBNJ. Not sandbagging or anything here, John, but again, how do you by the UBNJ, the NJOA, the Federation of Sports Guns, whatever, but more to the UBNJ directly, how do you still try to patch, glue, flex seal, whatever, still the glaring fissures, although they seem to be calming down somewhat, between the traditional, you know, the recurve traditional, the compound users, and the crossbow users? It seems still that there's, oh, you use this, you suck. You use that, oh, you suck. That has training wheels. So you use both of those, you suck. It should be traditional if you want to be, you know, a real archer. John, how does the UBNJ address that?
Well, you know, we include everybody.
Right.
And I actually think the antis have helped bring us together as a group, no matter what you use, because more and more bow hunters are seeing. It's not the weapon that you use. It's, we all love the sport of archery and bow hunting. And I think a lot of that past traditional compound crossbow is kind of being put to the side, and hey, we have a bigger battle fight,
right?
You know, to keep the sport, no matter what weapon you use, to keep it going. And that's really helping us a lot.
Exactly. Well, John Ertl, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Saturday, March 6th, tomorrow, UBNJ Spring Fling. It's going to run from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. registration. John, this thing goes, well, till probably mid to late afternoon, correct?
Yeah, 3:30, we'll start picking up targets. Okay. So people have plenty of time. If they want to sleep in a little bit on Sunday and come out, we'll be there for them.
He nailed me on that one, people. It's at the 4F Gun Club, 1 Burke Road of Freehold. John, give that UBNJ website, Facebook addresses. Go.
Our website is UBNJ.org. Facebook is United Bow Hunters. And our Instagram page is United Bow Hunters NJ.
Hey, John, again, congratulations. Great work by the United Bow Hunters of Jersey. Keep it going, little brother. And I am going to nail you down for your off the air, for your favorite venison recipe. I got you, Erndl.
Oh, I'll give you a good one.
You take care, John. Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow, man. Right. Be good.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Up against a hard break. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, man. Ho-ho! Check this out. Check this out. Next weekend at the Piccalilli Inn. Oh, man, you talk about a wild game weekend. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
East Coast Roofing and Siding, protecting what you love and own. East Coast Roofing and Siding, trust us with your family and home.
Hi, I'm Larry Styler.
And I'm Sean Styler.
We'd like to remind you that East Coast Roofing, Siding, and Windows is a professional business open year-round and has been serving South Jersey since 1979. It seems, however, that many of you feel sorry for us in the cold and hold off calling until spring, along with everyone else. The truth is, we and our families eat as much in the winter as we do in the summer. So call us now while prices and wait times are at their lowest and learn how great financing plans can help you. And please don't feel bad. We have long johns and we'll wear them. So call 646-1444 or visit us online at eastcoastroofing.com.
If you'll call, we'll show up.
East Coast Roofing and Siding. Trust us with your family and home.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Right back inside Rack and Fin, ready with me, Tom P. Weekend of March 6th and 7th. As I ended the last segment with Johnny Erndl about one of his venison recipes. Check it out next weekend, March 12th to 14th, at the Piccalilli Inn, Route 206 in Chemung. It's the Wild Game Weekend. Hey, people, listen to me. This is special spot in the heart of Rack and Fin Radio. One, it's probably a favorite restaurant in the universe. Okay, two, this is a wild game weekend. I mean, is going to be like none other. Joining us on the line right now is Bonnie Schneider, owner of the Piccalilli Inn. Wild game weekend, March 12th and 14th. What a great idea as winter is on the wane. Bonnie, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Tom.
Bonnie, wild game weekend. I looked at the menu. I went, fell off my chair. I said, who came up with this? When did you come up with this? And what went involved in getting this? And listeners, we're going to go over the menu. But just a reminder, the Piccalilli Inn has been around since the early 1920s. So, Bonnie, the restaurant, family-owned, you're turning a century old, young lady. Not you, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, exactly. Well, part of how it came about was because we used to do venison dinners, and we did over 50 years of those.
Right. I remember
50
once,
years.
Yeah, way back in the early 80s, I was a Division of Fish and Wildlife. Bonnie, that's when I first knew about the Piccalilli Inn. I was on a deer check station there. I think it was the last day of the season. And I said, whoa. And, and then how many decades later? And I said, my God, the place is even as cooler than I remember it. And Bon, the food there is off the charts for listeners. Let's get to it, okay? We don't have much time here. It's going to be the Wild Game Weekend, March 12th, 13th, and 14th. Bonnie, a three-dayer, man. You people are really stretching it out. That's you're going to be pulling your hair out, girl. It's going to be crazy.
Right. Let's hope we still have some on Sunday.
Right. Now, you have executive chef Chet and Dina. Go into the again, you didn't have the venison dinner. You came up. Listen, check this out. Check this out. The sausage tasting board. Wild boar with blueberries, bison with chipotle chilies, and pheasant with cognac. Who came up with these menus, Bongo?
Dina did. She is just amazing. And Chet, he loves to hunt. He loves to, you know, be out there. And he wanted to try new things, have everybody get a little sample of everything, not just venison. So we decided to do the wild game. And they came up with an amazing menu for us. So it should be exciting.
Okay, listen, now the sausage board is all served with homemade. You only get homemade at the pick. Pickled onions, whole grain mustard, and sourdough. Bonnie, go into the – this is how thorough the beautiful Bonnie Schneider is. Restaurant owner extraordinaire. She even came up with the recommended libations. Go into the two for this, Bonnie, for the sausage board.
Well, they did. They came up with black youth quarter. And we have a good old-fashioned, just the same, you know, cocktails that were back in the day, and old-fashioned is suggested with the sausage tasting board.
Okay, is it now, listeners, choice of two entrees. First one, elk burger on a toasted pretzel bun, topped with crumbled blue, I'm sweating here, crumbled blue cheese, caramelized onion, lettuce, and tomato, served with homemade chips and house-made pickles. Oh, and look, Bonnie, going to those libations again. I'm telling you, I'm wiggling
right,
in my chair
Rogue
here.
Rogue makes a hazelnut brown nectar, and that's the beer we suggest. We also suggest the cocktail as a sidecar.
And the second choice of entree, venison meatloaf. Listen, I'm going to go in and say, okay. The girl's going to say, what do you want? I said, okay, and just run my hand out. Venison meatloaf served with creamy mashed potatoes, roasted Brussels sprouts, and crispy bacon, and a spring mix salad, and go with the libations, Bon.
Ah, well, Eva Genius has a beer that's called I'll Have What She's Having, Imperial Stout. Now, it's a little heavy on the ABV, so you want to take it slow.
Whoa. I just
have
saw that
cocktail.
I just saw that number, Bon. Two of those, I'm under the table.
You got it. We'll be picking you up, carrying you out.
And I'll leave it at that, Bonnie. You take care. Hey, Truman, Bodie, Lily, Uncle Wally, everything good?
Everything's good. Thank you so much, Tom.
Okay, Bon, you take care. We'll see you sometime this week. Yeah, next week under the pick, going to be a great gut-busting time. Hey, let's get to a quick fishing report with the main man, Noel Feliciano, one-stop bait and tackle at Atlantic Avenue in AC, where things are happening. Noel, K-Pos, a little brother, how's your springtime going, man?
It's going nice and strong. Got plenty of bait, plenty of bloodworms. All you got to do is show up. We'll put you on a hot spot, baby, because they are catching some nice-sized striped bass. The biggest perch I've seen in years up in the river. You got to remember, we're in a strategically a great spot in Atlantic City because we're right in between the two rivers. We got the Great Egg, you got the Great Egg Harbor, and we're right center of both of them. There's actually the two fishing spots or a couple fishing spots that you can go is actually less than 30 minutes away, and I can guarantee you your rod to bend.
Noel, I'm seeing some white perch the size of my head, man. Now, this little cold snap we have, that's going to maybe put a little damper on it, but it's going to be balls to the wall starting this week all over again.
Let me tell you something. I've seen the biggest perch ever in a long time. Yeah. I honestly think this is one of the – I think by April 15th, they'll be mugging them on the jetties. I think we're going to have an early season with striped bass. The amount of striped bass I've seen since this first to now – the amount of them, and they're all the way up to the river in Delaware Bay already. And I honestly think this is going to be one of the greatest years ever for bass and perch.
Noel, your take on the circle hook with the bait. Go.
I honestly think, is it really going to make a difference if it's offset or inline? I like setting the hook myself, but you got to follow laws and regulations. Mm-hmm. And once the government gets involved in anything, I honestly think, is it good? Is it bad? So hopefully it'll become good. They'll start hooking the fish in the mouth and not in the gut. So that's a good plus.
We shall say we're speaking to Noel Feliciano, one-stop bait and tackle, 416 Atlantic Avenue in AC, where it is. Noel, would you say it's almost triple banging?
It's banging. It's not almost triple banging. It's just banging.
Noel, on the perch now, for the bloodworms, you got most of your customers using a high-low rig. Some guys I know just use a little jig head with some bloodworm on there. What's the dealio?
Believe it or not, you get a little kingfish rig, and that holds up. I got these custom-made rigs. A local builder's actually making them for me. It's really great. It's actually 40-pound test because it sticks the leader straight on out with a little bobber or just a plain hook, and it holds up, and it puts your worm or your shrimp way out there where it needs to be. It don't dangle down on your line. Mm-hmm. Where it does the job it's supposed to do. If it's a high-low, it's a true high-low. Right. So come and check those things out, too. They're pretty awesome.
Now, well, when do you think the bass bite is going to transition? I mean, it'll still be eating bloods naturally, but when the guys are going to start getting them on some bucktails and plugs? What do you think?
Believe it or not, a bucktail is the go-to thing you should have in your box. And I honestly think it's just around the corner. But you got to remember something. There's some guys plugging up on a jetty recently that they snagged a couple adult bunkers, and they're coming in here too.
Whoa.
Yes, so that's a good sign to see bait coming in. Because you got to remember, they spawn the way we're surrounded with shallow water in towards the Back Bay, Lakes Bay, Absecon Bay, right, and all these bays around here. So this is what attracts all these species coming here to do their thing, to have these little baby bunkers and all that other stuff, the sparing and the minnows and all that stuff. We're surrounded with one of the best ecosystems that we can,
right,
a system that we have all through here, that it helps every fisherman that comes to Atlantic City and in a surrounding area. But we're at a spot, not because I'm here, with this river system that we have going on and these jetty systems, crying out loud.
It's loaded.
We can't forget that the steps are still coming. We've been waiting for them for a long time. Jeff is still involved. And hopefully we'll get these things done with the CRDA and the city of Atlantic City. So it's still going. Don't think that you sign this paperwork. We got over almost 8,000 signatures for this whole thing a couple years ago. It's still going on strong with that.
Good.
I honestly think they spent $32 million just on the boardwalk system that we have here just to get to this jetty. I honestly think if we get the steps to go out there, even when we get older, we could take our grandkids to go out there, and this is one of the best fishing grounds there possibly can be.
You got it. Noel Feliciano, one stop. We'll see you this week. Noel, you take care, brother.
God bless. Thank
you. We'll see you. We're to close out the reports with Noah Brown, Creekside Outfitters, Route 9 in Ware Town. Noah Brown in Ware Town. Noah, what's happening? We got white perch, and I understand we have some stripers going on, and maybe touch on fresh water with some bass at Ware Town Lake. Noah, go!
All right, so pretty much lately the hot spot's been down there in the Mullica, I'd say, down there anywhere from Seven Bridges Road all the way as far south as Hay Road down there off the Pomona exit in Smithville. I know the schoolies have been out in force anywhere from the lagoons right up in here in Ware Town to up north in Forked River down there in the Great Bay area. And then the freshwater bite, I know my buddies and them were actually out there in not Ware Town Lake, but Wells Mills Park the other day, and they had a couple nice little largemouth, nothing of crazy size, but a couple pounders getting out there starting that spring feed. Still nice and cold, though.
Right. Noah, back to the white perch, top bait, grass shrimp, bloods, what's the dealio?
The bait of choice I've been hearing has been bloodworms. I know the grass shrimp have also been effective, and I know some guys are actually even using the mealworms. I know that sounds a little out of the ordinary, but, I mean, everything's been scarce right now. Guys are using what they can find.
And no, the fish have to eat anyway. But, no, to the stripers, anything insofar as, again, a bloodworm bite, anything on plugs or little bucktails or Mr. Twisters yet?
It's been a lot of soft plastics, the slow-moving baits on the bottom and stuff. The fish really aren't going after the plugs and the top water yet. It's still nice and cold, I'd say. Your slow-moving, lower water column baits have been more effective.
Okay, now we'll catch you this week, brothers. Be good.
You take care, Tom.
That'll do it for this week. I'm Rack and Finn. Radio. How to squeeze it in. Get out there and enjoy. Weather's a little chilly, so what? Rack and Finn Radio.
95.5 FM and